Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a brand new episode of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. It has been 2 weeks since I last published. I had the episode with Chet Colchin. If you haven't heard that, go check it out. A lot of stuff has been going on. There's a lot of stuff to catch everybody up on with. Anyway, this weekend, this Saturday, I am going to be in Berlin performing at the Lollapalooza Festival. This has been, besides the book, which I'm going to get into, this has been the brunt of my brain space the last couple of weeks at least. I mean, I've been writing on it for a long time. You know, writing a set is so nerve-wracking because, like, you really have to have enough of it on paper that at least, or at least like in, that's how I do it. Like I do know comedians who don't write anything down. Everyone has like a different thing. I have to have it written down. I need to see the structure. I need to, like, I even write certain phrases in different styles so it cues to me the inflection. So if something's like, you know, put into bold, or if it's in, you know, italics, if it's, you know, maybe in a different font, or, you know, if it's just in the spacing too, if it's easy to read so I can practice it. And then when you have enough that you feels like good to start with, good to start like reading with and, you know, like practicing the flow of it, then that part is so nerve-wracking for me because then it's like running this thing that is so long and memorizing it like a monologue, and then as you're trying to memorize it, you start like editing it as you speak it. So then you're also kind of editing and performing, and you have to do it over and over and over so that it kind of feels smooth. And sometimes ideas you had for something like, I know this is funny, but it's not coming out funny, and you either have to like eventually gut it or you, after you do it enough times, you learn that like, oh, I was just saying this completely wrong. You know, earlier today I was practicing it and I just didn't want to make a lot of noise. So I was doing it really quiet, almost like this. And some jokes that I was about to cut or just change completely finally made sense to me, like how they should be delivered, like how they should come off. And that's what's so time-consuming about it. The show is an hour long. I'm going to be at Lollapalooza this Saturday. Let me take a look here at the information for those who might be in attendance or for those who just might be interested. I have my most recent information here from my booking agency. Yes, we are going to be... Oh, do I have it here? I might have opened the wrong email chain. Sorry about that. I'll find it. No, I got it here. There we go. Timetable. So I'm going to be on... I'm going up to Berlin on Friday because I have to be at the festival kind of early. My slot is 12:30. Let me zoom in here for myself. 12:30 to 1:30 on the alternative stage at the Olympiastadion and Olympiapark Berlin on the 12th of July. Let me look at some of the more major acts here and see if you guys might know any of them. I know everyone on the planet will know who is the final performer on my day, because the final headlining act on my day is Justin Timberlake. That's pretty cool. Maybe it makes more sense to start with him and go down. So he's on the main, of course, Telecom main stage. He's the final act. And just next to him would be Gracie Abrams. I do know who she is. I don't know a lot of her music. But she's been blowing up a lot recently. And then I have to admit, maybe it's just me not listening to a lot of music recently very much, or just not being up to date because I'm getting old. but I don't know a lot of these other acts. Funny enough, on the same stage as me, the last act just before Justin Timberlake is Karaoke with Live Band, hosted by Gyeza Poke. What's it, like, if I'm thinking like how a European would say it, like Gyeza Poke, maybe a Gyeza Poke. So interesting, Karaoke with a Live Band. They must be pretty darn good to be right up there just before Justin. So that could be cool to check out. Then also neighboring that is an artist called Armin van Buuren. I feel like that's a familiar name. So Gracie Abrams, Karaoke with Live Band, hosted by Gyeza Poke and Armin van Buuren, and of course Justin Timberlake. Going down, I don't know these. I think I know The Last Dinner Party, but I don't know the music. And then, yeah, it just goes down. I think I've heard of Magdalena Bay, Remy Bond. These are on the main stage, Miko. But yeah, I am in the second slot. Well, I'm the first on my stage, which is all fine and good. I think I might be the only comedian. For sure the only one on this day, as far as I can tell. I actually haven't looked up some of these other names. But I doubt they would put comedy or like alternative like speaking any later than the slot I have. Like after 2 o'clock, I can't imagine. I think by then people are already like, they've had day beers, you know, they've had a few joints or whatever. It's a festival, so they want to get their dance on. But yeah, the 12th, 12:30 to 1:30 at the alternative stage at Lollapalooza. So I'm really excited about that. But like I said, it's been a lot of work. And right on top of that, which is like the worst timing ever, as we were preparing to come back home from the States, I got the email or the phone call with the publisher of the book, and the publishing date is the same, September 25th, pre-orders in the show notes. Go do it if you haven't done it. But the deadline for like final cut, basically like the final book, is so much earlier than I ever anticipated. I think it's been pushed up by like a month and a half or something. It's really crazy because it's kind of like not long after Lollapalooza. So all day as I'm running this show and kind of editing the show and making sure it's perfectly memorized so I can do the best job I can for this performance, I am also consistently filling the time around that with writing and editing my book, which is so crazy. It takes up so much mental space. And I have such an issue with when it's like finally time to shut down your brain, I get that panic, you know, like, well, maybe I shouldn't watch something now before bed. Maybe I should be running the show, or maybe I should be writing. And by then, you know, my brain is such mush. Like even now it's just the afternoon for me and I can already feel like the breakdown of like my brain cells, because I've already run the show several times today and like worked on that. I've already edited and sent off 2 more chapters, and wanted to do the podcast just because I haven't done it in a while, and it kind of flexes a different mental muscle in a way. In addition to that, also, I, you know, was having phone calls with my social media agency, because I think I've been putting, you know, necessarily been putting so much focus on the book and on the live show that I've been putting kind of the social media stuff on the back burner. Like I'm still posting regularly, but just not putting 110% into it like I have been the past couple of years. And you can see that. You can see it in the engagement. It's kind of tapered off a little bit. I had one video do quite well on TikTok, so then some followers came with it. But, you know, you see that, and then you kind of start panicking, and you wonder, like, well, man, you know, if that tapers off, or if I, you know, if I, what they call in social media world, falling off, like, if I fall off and, you know, lose that traction, you know, what kind of effect is that going to have on, you know, the book, or, you know, can I do the tour? You know, I have the tour coming up in October, and I really, really, really want that to go well. Again, if you haven't gotten your tickets for the tour in October, the links in the show notes, please go do that. Yeah, so all of this stuff is like happening at the same time. And it's very easy, I think, to worry that I've, you know, counted my eggs before they're hatched, sort of. I am the first person to immediately do that. I will always worry that I've, like, you know, jumped the shark or, like, you know, like counted the eggs before they're hatched kind of thing. I really want this show to go well, but it's, you know, a daytime festival show. It's not like it's a festival, so there's going to be a lot of people who are maybe not paying full attention. It's a daytime thing. That's all fine and good. It's still good to have my name up there, and maybe some people have looked me up. But the book still has to be super good, but if the social media doesn't, if that falls off, then maybe people don't buy the book, and then it's like all this time and effort and work, and then at the end of the day, what, you know, what if I need to find new work? You know, what if the tour doesn't sell enough tickets, and then it doesn't break even, and then I have to like really think about doing a new job? It's crazy, like where my brain goes. And then people will say, well, you know, after July, you'll have that time to just focus on social media until the tour. So maybe you can like put all your, you know, effort back into that and have a few months to try and push that. It's a lot of pressure when you, like, I know there's much, much tougher jobs out there, don't get me wrong, but it's a lot of mental pressure when like all of your income or potential income, and like feelings of success are based purely around if people like you. You know, that was always the gamble from the start. But, you know, if you have a big rise, maybe you get too comfortable, you kind of find a rhythm, but you have to always stay on your toes and focus on it so much. And then it's so easy to, you know, because the industry is so oversaturated. I have to constantly find ways to stand out, looking at trends, engaging people without promoting too much stuff, without, you know, without working with too many brands or ads, but that's also how you get your money. And it's really so many things to consider. And as soon as you put like all of your effort into one aspect, you know, maybe just to use like even another metaphor, maybe I was putting my fingers in too many pies or something, like writing a book, working on this, then trying to do social media and planning for the tour. And, you know, we had dropped the socks, but like a few of the orders were having shipping issues, which was really stressful because I like put that into the hands of other people to try and take something off my plate. But when I think it was like three different orders complained, and I was like, man, this is why I handed this off, so I don't have to be concerned about it. But wait, what is that noise? Weird. I heard a weird noise outside. But it, you know, it's just like I wanted to hand that off, and then I get concerned about that too. And then you're thinking about bills and taxes and paying your insurance, and oh my God, you know, this has been a month that has brought a lot of stress on me, I have to say, more than usual. And I'm really looking forward to getting this show done, getting this book finished, and then just having, you know, I have a little break in August to take a short trip, and then I can, you know, maybe put all the effort back into social media, try and get those numbers back up, and just sort of, I don't know, try and find a rhythm again, and maybe make some, maybe I need to make some new routines. I'm also kind of, I am excited about one new change that's coming, which is, well, it made it sound like I'm not excited about the book or the show. I'm excited about all these things. I just feel very overwhelmed by like having to think of all of them all the time and worrying that people won't buy them. But I guess that's, you know, that's part of the job. I am excited about them though. And the other thing I am also excited about is that just as a follow-up, because I know I've mentioned it in old episodes, but not had an update in a while. I officially, I think it was yesterday or the day before. No, yeah, yesterday. I officially got my positive ADHD diagnosis from this clinic that specializes in that. That was not a surprise, I think, to just about anybody. So the next step now, because this particular clinic only focuses on the assessments. They're not, like, there's rules in Germany about which kinds of doctors can, you know, make prescriptions. And the people who did my assessment, they're not like, they're psychotherapists and not like psychiatrists, like the doctorates. And only they can make the prescription, which I guess kind of makes sense. But still, I was kind of hoping, they have some doctors there at the clinic, and I would have loved to have just knocked it out in one go. But I did my assessment, and it was based on like a point score, and some of the sections were like, you did 10 out of 10. This was 9 out of 9, you know? So it was pretty much like a go-to, and it was funny reading my, like the notes on our, you know, conversation of like, he sure seems scattered. He jumps around from topic to topic. He seems pretty fidgety and seems pretty distracted. And I was like, yeah, that's why I'm here. But so I got the form, all the testing's finally over. And right now I'm just looking for, yeah, a doctor that I can meet up with and just give the form to. And finally, start with some sort of medication for that and see if that helps. That's what the assessment psychotherapist recommended. And I got to tell you, right now with all of this balancing of junk in my brain, I sure think it would be helpful. Because with these restrictions that I think I feel often, trying to balance like doing a good job in all these different things, it seems like extra tough. And I feel like if I could have the medicated assistance to just sit down and just focus, oh man, I think that's exactly what, again, I hope I'm not putting too much pressure on it. It's not like it's a cure-all, but it could be like at least, yeah, maybe it could be a major solution. Maybe it could be just a partial solution. You know, there's also things I have to do outside of that, like finding times to like be more mindful and try and like calm myself. But it could help with like impulsivity and like focus. And that's something I really, really think I need some, you know, professional help with. So I'm glad I'm on the way to getting it. So that's good news. But yeah, man, this book, it's really looking good, I have to say. I'm very proud of it. So, you know, that's one thing. Doesn't mean people are going to buy it, but I am proud of it. You know, I was looking through, because right now we're in this editing process. It's a little nitpicky, but it has to be. And going through these stories, and like today I was going through a chapter about New Orleans, and it sounds like so egotistical, but I was reading a line and I really was like giggling out loud. I was like, oh man, I don't remember writing that line, but that's so funny. I was like, okay, maybe this book's not that bad. Maybe it's going to be okay. You know, I love how, you know, things are flowing in it. It's like I said, it's a ton of work. I don't know after this if I would do another one. I guess it'll really depend on if people like this and if how the career goes, you know, if people want another one. But it's a lot of work. It's a lot of writing. I do not know how people do this. I mean, my God. And this is stuff about me, you know. I don't even know how many words this is, actually. But I don't know, like people like James Patterson or like Stephen King will just like crap out a book over a weekend. And I'm like, and you have to make that stuff up? How do you do that? How do you, like, I know that's novels and it's, everything's a little different. Like comparatively, maybe this to them, you know, would just be like something they could do on the toilet in 20 minutes. Maybe for me, this was a lot of work, you know, and it's not even written that beautifully. It's written very, everything's in, you know, how I talk. Everything is really written how I talk. There was one time I was typing a sentence and I thought of this word that was a pretty fancy-ish, where it was like, ostensibly, I was like, wait, no, and, you know, and like went back and like changed it. But because it's really, I don't know, it's also hard to find your language in it. I was talking to the publisher and it comes from how I write my stand up, like on paper when I'm practicing the set. But there is What I mean to say is the way that I write on the stand-up is that I, like I said before, I will change things like for emphasis, how I'd like to say it is how I type it. So, you know, all caps, or this is bold, or this is italics. And I've noticed that I'm doing that a lot in the book too. And the publisher and I had a call recently about this. And she was like, look, I'm really loving this chapter. I just moved a few things around. I made some small notes. It was funny. I want you to look at this one line. I don't know if this part of this story makes sense. So just think about it. And at the very end, she was like, and also, I just wanted to have a little talk about these style choices you're making. These the bold and the italics and the all caps. Is that something that you feel like you really need? Because in books, we don't really do that. But if you said that you really need it and that's how you want it, you know, we can do it. But I just wanted to ask, do you think you'd really need it? And then I was going through the notes today and I was like, oh, I do it a lot, though. I do it too much. It's something on every page, which is a lot. I think I can definitely take out the all caps because it's like just screaming at the reader. But I think putting words in bold has a little cheekiness to it, and especially italics is a little like sassy. But maybe it's too much. We'll figure it out. We will figure it out. Let's see here. I wanted to also talk about. You have to forgive me. This might be a really short one. I just wanted to touch base today. What I wanted to say just about Lollapalooza, just for people who might be there, who might hear this. What I'm excited about for this is that I've combined some older stories that a lot of people never got to hear. There's a couple of stories from like my very, very first, I guess you could say special. I never released like the whole thing. I just released little clips here and there. But there are some stories from that. Since I never released them and it was only one performance that I've put back into this because I think that it fits like a summer vibe and I wanted to have an opportunity to relive them. The Lollapalooza set is a lot of like, I'll have a section of sort of like bits and jokes on a theme. And then I try to lead that into one of these stories. And then the really fun thing is that I think is going to help me a lot later for the tour in October is that a couple of the stories in this show set are also quite a lot of brand new things that I'm sort of practicing and feeling out for the tour in October. So that's been cool to kind of, you know, have these bits, have these sort of angles I want to approach, and then bring in an older story that I think fits it, that very few people have heard, and then take that story, blend it into a second one that almost no one's heard that I think also really fits, like the theme, and then kind of move that into brand new stuff, and then there's one little game section, little fun audience participation thing towards the end. And then there's this much bigger brand new thing that I'm hoping to polish a lot more, of course, until October. But that's really fun. So probably for everyone who's going to be at Lollapalooza, probably everyone except for my booking agent will have like never heard any of this stuff before. And that's cool too, because if you guys are coming to the tour in October, there might only be like one section that you have kind of heard, but by October it'll be so polished you might not even remember it or notice it. So I'm really looking forward to doing it. And earlier today I felt a little more relieved because I ran it again, and even like up until the day of, I have this compulsive urge to run these sets like over and over and over. And because I just get so anxious that I'll forget where I am, you know, and you have to write, or in my case, like I have to sort of write like the end of a line in a way that it sets up the next thing. And sometimes when I'm rehearsing it, I will like say the connection out loud to myself. Like if I say something about people who sit and the next thing is about people who don't travel, I kind of have to say like, it's like I'll end the line with like, so-and-so sit. And then out loud go, they sit so they don't travel. And then say the line of like, and they also don't travel. And so then every time I say sit, my brain would go, and they don't travel. And then I would know like what the next line is. But yeah, I don't know how like inside baseball this is for everybody. Maybe it's not that interesting to hear. But this was really, this has been really fun to make. I'm excited to perform it. And what I meant to say earlier was I did run it and it was the smoothest that it has gone, and that gave me some relief, for sure. That gave me some definite relief. But yeah, that's like since the last episode with Chad, this has been like completely overtaking my entire brain strength, like taking everything out of me that I can possibly do, and not like, you know, barely getting back to people's text messages, you know, just yeah. And like the only time I even left the house was to do get the ADHD results. So I'm also getting a little like cabin feverish, but I also don't want to waste precious time that I need for this work. And then I have to remind myself like, well, it's just this week. And then the festival's over. And then you know, the book, you don't have to do 10 hours a day on the book. You can do a few hours a day and still have a life. You can go back to the gym. You can like breathe a little bit, you know, I can work on it, you know, on the train or whatever, but it's, you know, clearly overtaking me at this moment. And I'm trying to think like, I guess I've really spilled my beans on this one. You have to forgive me for this one, but I think, so I will have for next week, the, you know, the stories about going to Lollapalooza. That should be really fun. I'm always happy to go to Berlin. I hope to see a couple of friends, you know, around there, maybe at the festival, maybe the day before. And then performing, I'll let you know how it goes. And then, yeah, we'll be basically just focusing on the book until that's done, and then back into, like, full-pressure social media stuff until the tour. Yeah, so wish me luck, and I hope you guys are doing well. I wanted to say I went live on TikTok a few nights ago. I think it was, like, Saturday night or Friday night. And had the best time. It was really sweet. It was Friday night. It was really sweet. Like, I guess it was the perfect time to go live because it was like a weekend. It was an evening. Maybe people were just, you know, chilling at home or getting ready to go out. It was like a bit, like one of the bigger audiences I've had on live. And people were just, you know, asking fun questions, engaging really well, sending gifts, like sending, you know, this, like, you can send like virtual things that translate into money. Which is so kind and like really makes you feel that people are having a fun time and engaging with the stuff you're telling them. And I really, really want to do that more. I always keep saying that. It's such a genuinely fun experience, but there's just no time for it right now. It's crazy. But maybe I'll have some more time after this week. But anyway, festival is, yeah, Friday, 12:30, Saturday at 12:30. Hope to see some people there. And the book comes out September 25th. You can pre-order it now. Concert tour tickets, get yours now if you have not already. The ticket for that is also in the show notes. And thank you guys for being here. I love you guys. I know it's a crazy, sporadic, short one this week, but I just wanted to touch base, let you know that I haven't forgotten you. And I'm working really hard to make some good stuff for you guys that I really, truly hope you will enjoy. And if I get my medication before next week's episode, I wonder if you'll hear the difference. Make sure to let me know. But I love you guys. Thank you so much. Subscribe, share, comment. It really helps me so much. And have a great week. Love you. Bye-bye. Look out, baby. The saints are. All over now, baby blue.
Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von John Prinz und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.